Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back. It's hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. And today we are live in the studio, as we are every week except on a holiday weekend. And we invite your calls for the doctors, finding out what's going on with you, maybe a new diagnosis, some symptoms you're dealing with. And here's a question. We've been talking with Tom about the gender fluidity. Is it a psychosis, neurosis? Dr. Mixon?
You know, to some degree, it depends on degree. Mm-hmm. As I said, there's a wide variety. Almost nobody thinks they are perfect and always want to be, and they always have some things that we wish we were different, you know. The thing that concerns me is not the disorder itself. I mean, this is a well-established psychiatric disorder. It's been around forever. We've always known about it. These are unfortunate, very unhappy human beings, and they are trying to make themselves happier by pretending to themselves that they are something they are not. Okay? And you know, some people say, well, if you point that out, you must hate them. This is a hate speech. No, it's not hate. I'm a physician. Mm-hmm. I want people to be healthy and happy and lead the best life they can. If you need to convince yourself that you're a man, a woman, an aardvark, or a kangaroo to be happy, go right ahead. I don't mind. It's your life. Lead it as you want to lead it. Okay. My objection is when the political and social mavens who are trying to tell us that the rest of us must buy into this person's delusions. Okay.
Yeah.
If this is a man who thinks he's a woman, he's entitled to do that. I don't care. Not my life. Lead your own life. But when you tell me I have to share your psychiatric dysfunction, that I have to believe that you're a woman. No, I don't have to. I'm allowed to live on planet Earth in objective reality. Right? And don't try to force me or shame me or call me terrible things if I insist on looking at objective reality and not sharing your fantasy life. That's just the way it is. I mean, the examples I use, if a person is 5'4" and he convinces himself he's 7'4", okay, is the NBA required to hire him on the pretense that he can dunk a basketball? No. Okay.
No.
It's objective. You're 5'4", not 7'4". Sorry, guy. You know, I don't care how much you believe it. It's not true. Simple. Mm-hmm. You know, believing it only works in fairy tales. Okay. You know, Tinkerbell, if we all clap our hands and believe, Tinkerbell will recover. No. You know, this is the real world, all right? And so we are not required to clap our hands and believe and share other people's delusional states. It's just not something I'm willing to go along with. Now, let me phrase that a little bit differently. I have hired people who are clearly transgender. And I don't hire them or not hire them because of their emotional state. I hire them because of the skill set that they have. And my only question is, how well do they do their job? What they do at home, how they view themselves in the universe, is not my business as their employer. My only function as their employer is to say, how well do you do your job? If you do your job well, I will give you promotions and pay raises and encourage you. And if you do your job badly, I will fire you and send you on your way. But it has nothing to do with your emotional gender status. Okay. So that's basically my view on this. Yes, it happens, but I refuse to be bullied into sharing other people's delusions.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Hope that's helpful for you, Tom. Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you, Dr. Mixon. We've got some more calls to get to. Here is the number, 800-465-8770. Before we do that, though, the show Leading Edge Medicine, of course, we have a sponsor. It's Longevity Medical Clinics. And as I was on the website, I noticed that, hey, we're still doing the health analysis. And if you go to lmclinic.com, you will see that you can schedule your appointment to come in. We want to see you. We want to meet you. A lot of times we'll get listeners that say, yeah, I've been thinking about it, or yeah, I'm going to do it. It's like, well, do it. Call us and become one of our patients and come in for the health analysis. And that's just a way for you to meet who we are, meet the doctors and the physician's assistants that we have here at Longevity at all three of our clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and in Kirkland. Come in, see us, and then find out what we can do for you to help you be what, Dr. Mixon? Leaner?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier. Which
yes.
is, after all, what we are all looking for in life is happiness.
Absolutely. We want you to come in, make that phone call. Don't wait another month or two or three or years before you make a change. Do it now, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can do what I did. Just go online to lmclinic.com and you can schedule yourself. Find the best day and the time that works for you, and we'll see you at Longevity Medical. All right? Okay, are you ready for another phone call?
Why not?
Okay, Peter is calling in from Tacoma. Welcome, Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Hello. Thank you. So my wife has higher cholesterol, and then a couple months ago the blood reading was about 214, which is down 14 points from a year before.
Good.
And HDL is about, it's up, but it's 64, and LDL is about 135, and that's down 20 points from previous. But she takes red yeast rice, and she's had breast cancer years ago and colon cancer last year. Is there any issue with red yeast rice and cancer?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, red yeast rice is actually the original lovastatin. Mm-hmm. You know, what the pharmaceutical company did was they took the red yeast rice, they isolated the lovastatin, they learned to manufacture it in bulk, mm-hmm. and sold it as a statin. But it's been around forever as red yeast rice. Mm-hmm. You know, it works. Because it's a lower dose, it tends to not be as effective, doesn't drop it. The cholesterol as far as the commercial preparations do, just because the dose is lower.
Right.
But it also has fewer side effects because the dose is lower. Mm-hmm. So it's not an unreasonable place to start. Interesting, you know, the data on colon cancer and breast cancer is they seem to be related in some degree, which is, I think is really kind of fascinating. Mm-hmm. My mother had both breast cancer and colon cancer.
Mm, okay.
You know, so I watch my colon a little more closely. Mm. And my father had prostate cancer and heart attacks and a stroke. Oh, my goodness. My genetics are a mess. But in the Women's Health Initiative study, in the reevaluation of that study back in 2010 or 2011, what they found was if women were given estrogen without the Provera, the synthetic progestogen, just estrogen, it lowered the risk of breast cancer about 30%. It lowered the risk of heart attacks by almost 50%. It cut the risk of colon cancer mm-hmm. by over 40%. Mm-hmm. It was amazing that the anti-inflammatory effect of estrogen dramatically lowers the risk of colon cancer. You know, as women's estrogen levels decline, the risk of both breast cancer and colon cancer rise, which is really kind of fascinating. But the other thing that, you know, we've mostly just become aware of in the last few years, 4 or 5 years, is that the primary hormone in women is not estrogen. It's testosterone. Men and women both, testosterone is the primary sex hormone. It's just that the levels in men are much higher than in women. But, you know, in a 20-year-old man, it's in excess of 1,000 to 1,200. In a 20-year-old woman, it's in the neighborhood of 75 or 80. Okay, so there's an order of magnitude difference. But a woman's testosterone is 75 or 80 nanograms per deciliter, but her estrogen is about 30 nanograms per deciliter. So her estrogen is less than half of her testosterone. And fascinating, we now know that testosterone in a woman has a potent anti-breast cancer effect. And so the question is, how much of this breast cancer as women are getting as they get older is due to the decline in estrogen, or is it the decline in testosterone, or is it both? Mm-hmm. Is it a super additive effect that she's losing her testosterone and her estrogen, and so her breast cancer and colon cancer are rising? We know that the estrogen cuts the risk of colon cancer almost in half. What is the impact of testosterone on colon cancer? I don't think it's ever been studied. I can't find a paper on it.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, no, I've never seen anything about testosterone replacement in men and colon cancer in men or women, for that fact, for that matter.
Although we do now have some data that says that it may actually be, if you give a man who's had prostate cancer testosterone, his reoccurrence rate may be somewhat lower.
That's where the data's going.
Yeah.
That's right.
That you actually lower the risk of a reoccurrent prostate cancer by using testosterone.
I know. And remember when I first started over here, most urologists would never allow a patient with prostate cancer to get testosterone replacement. And then slowly over time, they started hedging and they said, well, 3 years later, maybe.
One year later, maybe.
It didn't matter what kind of prostate cancer they had. But now they're not stopping therapy. They're just continuing.
Now we're finding that, you know, we may actually be lowering reoccurrence of prostate cancer with testosterone therapy, which is really kind of fascinating, the way it has changed.
That is fascinating.
Is that helpful for you, Peter?
And then the other thing, Jerry, he mentioned about his wife having the LDL of 214. Yes. You should seriously consider doing a fractionation study if you haven't done one already, because that'll give you more data about whether that LDL of 214 is dangerous for her or not. And all a fractionation study is, it looks at particle sizes, number of particles, particle sizes for both LDL and HDL. It also looks at carrier molecules like apolipoprotein B. It looks at myeloperoxidase, which are risk factors for rupture of plaque, and it looks at a genetic trait called lipoprotein little particle A, which runs independently in families and is a marker for high risk of heart disease. So there are lots of things that you can do. It's not very expensive to do that, but the value you'll get out of it is much more than just the HDL and LDL values that you gave us.
And it's about $300 for the study, but that study, if it's ordered by your primary care doctor, might even be covered by insurance for you.
Correct.
Okay. Great. And what was that, the name of that test?
It's a fractionation study. You can have your cardiologist do a lipid fractionation study, NMR. We use Cleveland Heart Lab, and so we call it the cardiac inflammatory panel.
Right. But then there's another one, the Boston.
Yeah, there are others do.
So Cleveland does it, Boston does it. There's several different companies that do it. So it's got a lot of different names, but basically the description is lipid fractionation.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We'll take a quick break here, and then we're back to talk more about stem cells, Parkinson's, and quercetin. Our next three calls, if you've got a question for the doctor, call now. Don't wait till the end of the show. 800-465-8770. I'm Lynette. We'll be right back. Stay there. Take it. You're taking it easy on this Saturday morning. You're tuned in to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here with the doctors in the studio. We've got three of them today. Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, and Dr. Dan Nelson. And Dr. Nelson, you said you had a question about our health analysis. You had somebody that actually asked you
this week. And the question came, well, indirectly, it was conveyed to me by a patient who's considering stem cell and wants to know, can I... We prescribed testosterone ahead of this. And I said, well, that's a good idea. That's really kind of outside. Or
that's not what you do.
When that comes up, I said, there's this place called
Longevity Medical Clinic.
Yes. And full disclosure, I'm a patient, have been for years.
Same here.
But in the free health analysis, probably... You probably don't do hormone testing as
we do.
Not for free.
Yeah, actually, I keep telling him we got to stop the free thing, but he doesn't listen to me.
Get in while you can, folks.
Yeah, and before that goes away. One of these days, we're going to give up the free part and just, we used to. Once upon a time, I did seminars.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when I did the seminars, we gave them the price of the testing, which is today is almost $600 to do the full test. And at the end of the seminar, people got in line and they went to the back of the room. They gave us their name. They gave us their credit card. They put a deposit down on the laboratory testing. Mm-hmm. And everybody that came in was getting the lab test. There was nothing free. Mm-hmm. And when we stopped seminars, we'd started doing this, the free HA. But even in the free HA, what we really think is if you want to find out what's really going on, you're going to need to go beyond the free and do
get the full
test. And so I keep getting tempted to go back to that.
Yeah.
But I also get tempted to go back and do some seminars, too.
Well, see, the thing is, Jerry, I think what we should probably do is a version of your seminar, either live or video, that they can see. And then they come in to do their blood test with us. So when they see the doctor for the first time, they know that they're going to review labs. And our physicians are going to go over what they read in the labs and explain how we can help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my question about that is the patient asked about me prescribing testosterone before his stem cell, prior to his stem cell treatment. I said, that's really not what we do.
Right.
We refer patients to Longevity Medical Clinic, blah, blah, blah. So I guess, we do lab testing. We do CBC, chemistry panel, because we want to make sure. And sometimes we pick up things. We're like, whoa, you need to get this corrected before we...
Right.
But now, it started me thinking, maybe we should do a little more extensive testing. Because in the stem cell business, as we have these patients, we call them non-responders. They don't get the results.
Yeah.
That they're hoping for. Yeah.
Maybe 20% of our knee arthritis patients get less than optimal results. And so why is that happening? Mm. And sometimes it's on patients who I would think would do well.
Right.
Looking at everything, x-rays, MRI. But
they
disappointing.
Don't.
So my thing, going back, should we start testing for things like testosterone levels?
Sure.
If they're depleted, they're probably not going to do well.
If you're looking, I'd say you need to be looking at testosterone, DHEA,
absolutely,
and growth hormone.
Growth hormone, IGF-1.
All of them.
All three of those.
Absolutely.
And by the way, folks, full disclosure, I keep trying to talk this guy into coming and working with me at Longevity Medical. I haven't.
You know, I'm not the one you have to convince, right?
Bernadette.
Yeah, that's right.
It's called the wife. Yeah. Happy wife, happy life.
There you go.
But I've been nagging him for a couple of years. Come on over and join us at Longevity. And I think I'm getting him tempted sometimes.
Closer.
Because then, if you came in to see him, we'd be in a position to do all your testing at the same time.
Absolutely. Yes.
No, obviously it's an attractive situation where I'm doing all the musculoskeletal.
Yeah.
You know,
and we're doing all the hormone manipulation, and we are in the same clinic. Right. You see why I keep trying to talk you into
it. There you go.
I'm the Home Depot. You're the Radio Shack. You're fine-tuning all the stuff, and I'm doing
and
all
Dr.
the...
And Dr. Matt, you and I are the Nordstrom.
There you go.
I love it.
I like it, Lynn.
Okay, so for your patient that was asking you, they need to come to Longevity and get tested so that they could get type of a prescription for testosterone if they're needing it. Yeah, you can't just give that.
I'm not comfortable, I would have to say. You know, well, what Dr. Mixon says all the time, if you don't measure,
you don't know.
And I think that's something we have to really take into consideration.
Right. Absolutely. Although you want another phone call?
Oh. Yeah, so I'm sitting here looking at Samara's bangles, these gold bangles on her right wrist. Is she Nordstrom's or is she Tiffany's?
That's good. I think she'd look nice in Tiffany blue. All right, let's go to Edmonds. Anne is on the line with a question for Dr. Nelson. Hi there, Anne. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, yes. No, it's been fun listening. I have been struggling with essential tremors ever since I was about 25 years old, and I'm 58. And I see a neurologist at the University of Washington for Botox injections in the back of my neck. Because my head shakes. And I'm finding that it is just starting to affect every part of me. My right hand is now shaking. My head's shaking worse. And, you know, it's not fun. So I'm just asking, what are you discovering with stem cells that might help?
That's a very challenging situation. Our hearts go out to you. That's the short answer is it's not ready for prime time yet. I think it's going to happen for neurodegenerative diseases like tremors and Parkinson's and all that stuff. But we're not quite at it. I'm certainly not at the point where I can recommend that. We can't do stem cells for. There are places that are investigating that. I was listening to a podcast this week on Dr. Mixon about the Clotho protein. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes.
And that's very promising.
The Clotho protein is one of the issues. We're trying to find somebody that can do the lab work for us.
Currently no commercial labs are available that are doing it, so they're getting it done in research labs only. And then the other big thing, Dan, is that the Clotho protein actually does not cross the blood-brain barrier. And so they're seeing that neurologically the mice are functioning at a higher level. So they think it's either a platelet growth factor that's crossing the blood-brain barrier or something else that's going across, but it's not actually the Clotho protein.
Right.
So there's some other factors. And then there's a genetic thing that they're talking about, the genome. So there's a lot of stuff that is very intriguing about Clotho, and it will come to commercial use, but not for tremors, not for essential tremors.
And for essential tremor, I'm not a neurologist, certainly not a procedural neurologist, but there are neurologists or neurosurgeons that are using the gamma knife for the tremors associated with Parkinson's disease with very good success.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would be tempted to do would be to find a neurosurgeon that is treating the Parkinsonian syndromes with a gamma knife and ask him, talk to him about, is there something analogous that they could do for the central tremor? I don't know, but it just comes to mind as a possibility, remote possibility probably, but at least something worth talking about.
And I would like to also, I have a colleague of mine, Dr. Ryder Gwynn, who is neurosurgeon who does DBS, deep brain stimulation, for targeting things like Parkinson type symptoms and the essential tremor thing. I just don't know. I'll query him. I'll text him and see if that's. So maybe if she can leave a number.
Oh, I was just going to say that I'm finding with it, you know, it obviously gets worse with adrenaline. And adrenaline will shoot me up really fast. Yeah. And I can go from 0 to 60 and just be shaking, you know, just like a leaf. And so I'm thinking that maybe you have discovered something that would help with all that extra adrenaline.
Well, the adrenaline, you can be damped down with a beta blocker.
I was just going to say a beta blocker. Yeah. That's what I'd try first.
Okay. And that is what I use. So I didn't know if there was something different.
Which one are you using, just out of curiosity? Which are you on, metoprolol?
Oh, I use propranolol.
Propranolol. Mm. Okay, so you're using the oldest
old school.
One around.
Yeah, old school.
1950s.
I guess, Liam, are there ones that are better?
Well, there are newer. Propranolol has a fairly short mechanism of action. So after, 4 or 5 hours, it starts to wear off. Blood levels start to drop pretty fast. And there's one called propranolol that has about a 12-hour action.
Metoprolol, you mean.
Or metoprolol, I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, and so metoprolol you just take twice a day, morning and evening, and it's got a longer, smoother effect. Once more, this is something you should chat with your neurologist about. Dan is a pain specialist and does stem cells. I am, an aging longevity doctor.
Right.
So you're asking us questions that are outside of our, our core strengths.
Okay. Absolutely.
So we're giving you our best guesstimates.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we know enough to be dangerous, in other words.
That's right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
All right.
Well,
and Dr. Nelson. Anne, hold the line for a second. Dr. Nelson, did you want to get her contact information?
Yes.
Sure. Absolutely. If there's a way, I can do a little deep dive during the week and maybe find some more information.
Yes. Our producer is ready to grab your contact information, Anne, and Dr. Nelson can get back to you. So hang on the line. We're going to take a break here. Yeah, stay right there. And then we'll be back with Gary, Carl, and Sally in just a moment. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here along with the three doctors live in the studio today. Dr. Samiri Umat is here, our special guest doctor, Dr. Dan Nelson, and Dr. Jerry Mixon. And here is that number to get through with your call today and your questions, 1-800-465-8770. We're headed to Kent now. We have Gary on the line. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Hello, Gary.
Morning. Thank you. Yeah, I had a question. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2021, and my wife and I were constantly looking at what's going on, and she does more research than I do, but she came across a report that talked about how nicotine patches are affecting Parkinson's patients. And I was just curious what your thoughts were on that. I'm not a big fan of drugs. The drugs that I take now have a negative impact on me in other ways too.
Yeah, they do.
It seems to me going from the Parkinson's regimen to nicotine is just swapping out drugs.
In some extent it is, although the mechanism of action would be totally different. It's really kind of fascinating. There are areas of the world where people smoke like fiends and yet live to be over 100 years old and almost never get cancer, which is bizarre.
Wow.
Because smoking, it's not just the tars and then the nicotine addiction. It turns out that nicotine, as opposed to the tars associated with smoking, is a mitochondria uncoupler. The mitochondria are organelles within our cells that generate the energy, the ADP, ATP, that actually provide the energy for life. So we burn the sugars, we burn the fats, and we make these energetic compounds. When you use something like the nicotine itself, as opposed to the smoking per se, you actually uncouple some of that energy production, and it slows down and makes things mellow and relax. And for some reason, in the animal studies at least, it extends lifespan significantly. Mm-hmm. The downside of nicotine patches, of course, are they are addictive.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's one of my concerns.
Yeah. So I just pulled up a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2023, and this was funded by the Michael J. Fox Parkinson's Disease Foundation, Research Foundation, and their conclusion in 163 patients with early diagnosis of Parkinson's disease was that it did not slow the progression of early Parkinson's disease.
That's important to know.
And that's 2023 study, so it was just published. Okay. August 22nd, 2023, New England Journal of Medicine.
So, okay, so only about eight or 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the theory has been that, you know, the nicotine helps animals to live longer by slowing the cellular turnover. But judging from this, at least in that study, it did not help the Parkinson's syndrome.
Correct, 163 patients.
Yeah, which is a pretty good size study for that sort of thing.
My question then to follow up would be, my understanding is it helps relieve the symptoms of Parkinson's. Would there be, other than the addictive nature of nicotine, would there be a danger in taking that if it relieves some of the symptoms of Parkinson's?
Nicotine in low doses does not appear to have much in the way of negative effects. The problem is you can overdose with nicotine. And so, you know, they make nicotine patches in multiple doses, and people that are trying to wean themselves off smoking start with a high dose and then step it down over time. There's also a nicotine gum that can be used for that sort of purpose. So while it may help the symptoms, what the study is showing is it does nothing for the long-term progress of the disease. The disease continues to get worse, even though you may, in the short term, help some of the symptoms of the disease.
Okay. Well, that helps. I appreciate the input.
Yeah. Interestingly, we were during the break talking about Clotho.
Yeah.
And Clotho may actually help in Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
That was fascinating.
Yeah, in the animals that are designed to have neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's, injecting them with Clotho protein intraperitoneally, you put it into their bellies, and indeed, they improve dramatically.
Right.
So there is something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question has always been, is Clotho an active protein or is it a marker for health? And what we know, strangely, is almost everything we know that increases lifespan. Rapamycin raises Clotho. Dasatinib therapy for your senescent cells raises Clotho. Exercise raises Clotho. Losing fat raises Clotho. Almost anything and everything we do to make ourselves healthier raises Clotho, but it also turns out that Clotho proteins injected into the rodents improves a wide variety of health issues. Their hearts work better, their lungs work better, their skin works better, their brains work better. But Clotho protein is only available in the United States for research purposes. It is not a drug that we can prescribe.
Right, but the vision is that it will come to market.
Yes, sooner or later, because there's a lot of people doing research on it.
Right, the monkey studies have started, but no human studies now.
There's also feline or cat studies that have been pretty promising as well. So
the problem is that because it's being done through the big pharmaceutical companies, you are probably looking at umpteen thousand dollars a year for therapy. But right. if and when it comes to fruition, which could be 5-6 years from now. So.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
All right. Thank you for that call, Gary. We're headed to Texas. Are you ready to go to Texas? We've not been out of state today. We're going to go to Houston.
Yes, we have. We've been to Arizona.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He just said Tacoma. Okay. So we're going to go to Houston. Carl has a question. And Dr. Yuma, you may be wanting to answer this one. Hi there, Carl. Good morning.
Hello, Dr. Mixon. I was amused. I think all of us misspeak names from time to time. And you mentioned the first famous transsexual who was Christine Jorgensen.
Oh, you called her right. Christine, sorry. Keeler, didn't I?
sorry. You remember Christine Keeler was unambiguously female.
Yes, yes, I'm sorry.
He was a big player in the Profumo scandal back in Great Britain in the late 60s.
Boy,
he was something else.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. But, well, and, you know, she was a hot chick in her day. So, but definitely not a guy.
But, so we all need to laugh. So I thought
there we go.
Thank you very much. Yes. Well, you know, when I do that, I refer to it as a brain fart.
Yeah. But, just a little one for Dr. Mixon.
My doctor recommended when COVID hit. He recommended taking quercetin. And I still do. I didn't ask him why, but I know you use it in conjunction with dasatinib for senescent cell suppression. Mm-hmm. Does just quercetin alone do anything for that?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to turn most of this one over to Dr. Umat. My little 2 cents worth of it is quercetin is not a potent anti-senescent cell. It doesn't kill senescent cells. But it seems to inhibit the production of new senescent cells. Mm. And then when used in conjunction with the dasatinib, it makes the dasatinib far more effective. So it's one of those things where the two drugs together have a super additive effect, but the quercetin by itself slows the production, decreases new growth of senescent cells, but it has great impact on allergies.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Umat, because she uses it for that a lot.
That's what I use it for. And
Very, very fond of quercetin. You know, it's a flavonoid. It basically has antioxidant properties, but in allergies of all kinds, it is a natural suppressant of allergies. So people who don't know when they have allergies or seasonal allergies, for example, I use it a lot, and it does seem to help reduce the need for prescription-grade medications. Mm-hmm. Some of my patients, I will combine it with echinacea, but sometimes I'll just use quercetin, and a lot of my patients just take quercetin year-round.
Yeah.
Right. So immune modulator of some sort?
Yeah.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
My second question, I got what I thought was a typical cold about 3 weeks or a month ago. But one thing that has hung on that never has before is an odd taste in my mouth when I'm not eating. Does that suggest possibly it was COVID? I never had COVID before. Mm. Anything else.
Yeah. The problem that we've got is that an awful lot of viruses have a neurological effect.
Yes.
They affect both peripheral nerves and central nervous system. So altering taste, altering smell, altering almost any neurologic function can be done by a wide variety of viruses. And COVID is one of those viruses that do it.
Okay. So, last thing real quick. I noticed I have more phlegm than I used to in the lungs. Is that related to cardiovascular health?
If it's truly phlegm, then I'd say, you know, phlegm is a kind of our synonym for mucus production. That I would lean towards low-grade allergies or food sensitivities of some sort. If by phlegm you mean a need to cough and clear your throat,
that could be
cardiac. Because people with very early cardiac dysfunction, you know, very, very early symptoms of congestive failure, for instance, can result in mild shortness of breath and the need to cough periodically.
Or some reflux.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of that can be. Yes. So
cardiac couldn't hurt.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Cardiac would be one thing to look at, but as she pointed out, also gastrointestinal reflux.
Yeah.
Esophageal dysfunction, where you're actually getting gastric gases and liquids coming back up from the esophagus into the base of your throat, can make you start to cough because it acts as an irritant on the larynx, and you have to cough and clear your throat. So either the esophagus or cardiac would be two possibilities that should be looked at.
Always learn something when I listen to your show. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
There you go, Carl. Thank you so much. Yeah, you, Doctor, you had me double up my quercetin for allergies, and I have yet. Here we are, June 1st, and normally that cottonwood.
Hey.
Yeah, well, cottonwood is usually that wipes me out, and I have, you know, been mildly irritated, but not enough to actually even take any of the things that I would
You
do.
Know,
so,
before we
thankful.
Had quercetin, I used to be fond of echinacea.
And
when COVID hit, I put everybody on echinacea. And this is an anecdotal story, but it's a true story. One of my patients before COVID told me that, you know, she's been with longevity, but every year she was getting sick all the time. She's getting viral illnesses. And I told her to take one echinacea every day, and I forgot about it. I put it in a chart. I forgot about it. We did reviews. I never reevaluated it, and a year or so later, she pointed it out to me. She said, "You remember a year ago you told me to start taking echinacea once a day, and I have been taking it, and this whole year I haven't fallen sick." So that really, you know, I whatever the scenario was, maybe she was metabolically better, physiologically better, biologically better as well. A lot of factors contributed to that, but then her environment didn't change, right? So it makes you think that there was something in what she was taking that is helping her. And then when quercetin came along, I have started using that. It's one of my favorites in terms of allergy symptoms, reducing the symptoms and and also the need for prescription grade medications. It really has helped a lot of people. So quercetin is my go-to for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay, the calls keep coming, so let's keep answering. All right, we are headed to West Seattle. Donna has a question for Dr. Nelson. Hi, Donna. Welcome to the show.
Hi, you guys.
Hello,
Donna. I have a question for Dr. Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. He's listening.
I told you about a pain I've been having in my left lower leg. I think the doctors call it the peroneal nerve area.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've been having occasional pain. It comes and goes, especially at night, the 3 a.m. pain call. And when it gets really bad, I have a cortisone shot. But my question is, what would your thoughts be about having either PRP or stem cells, and how much does it cost?
Yeah, no, great question. So, let me ask this first. The cortisone does help, does it?
Oh, yeah.
And that's great. The trouble is, repeated cortisone injections are not ideal for a number of reasons, but because cortisone essentially is a catabolic type hormone that ultimately breaks down tissue, and that can be harmful, both locally and systemically. So I'll do a couple of cortisone injections, for example, for a shoulder, you know, knee or whatever. But then I tell patients, look, we're not doing you any favors. The efficacy goes down. You're going back to the well. That's just not, you're not going to get the same results typically in a lot of cases. Plus, you know, it's the cortisone we know will cause potential degradation of cartilage, tendons, ligaments, that kind of thing.
As well as cataracts.
As well as cataracts, absolutely.
Dr. Gilbert tells us all the time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. So I think, a PRP injection would be totally appropriate in that. And I will often tell patients, look, I'll do the cortisone once, maybe twice, but then we got to talk about something like a PRP injection, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I've only had two shots of its cortisone,
that's fine.
And I'm 90.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, but I just wanted to know if I wanted to have, or if I needed to have PRP, if you think that would be first step, or would I go right to stem cells?
I think in this case, PRP most likely would be the best step.
The advantage is the PRP is covered by insurance, isn't it? Or is it stem cells or not?
Unfortunately, in most cases, not. But it's a lot less expensive than stem cell.
Yeah.
And so we're talking
$800,
you know,
something like that for shots?
Well, if you come to our clinic, I think it's about $1,100. I mean, you can find cheaper places, but then, you know, you kind of get what you pay for, in my opinion. So,
see, I always change that. You don't always get what you pay for.
Right.
You always pay for what you get.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah. You know, that's much better.
I paid for many things I didn't get.
Oh, okay. I paid for many things I didn't get.
Sorry, Donna, what was that?
Before I come in to the office, can you do it in one visit, or do I need to come in a couple times? Because I will need a ride. I'm 90 years old, and I don't drive.
Oh,
in that.
You know what, Donna? For you, we could probably do it all in one visit. If we could get some records ahead of time, especially, that would be helpful. If we have a procedure note where they tell us whoever did the injection, that's always helpful, because then we can, that kind of confirms what, you know, kind of what we're doing. But
okay,
yeah,
well,
in most cases
to
we're
on Broadway.
OPA?
Yeah.
That's where you go right now?
Right.
Yeah, but you'd have to sign a medical records release, and then they can send the records to Dr. Nelson.
Yeah.
So he would have them before you came.
Sometimes we can get those records off of Epic, you know, but we could facilitate a one visit deal for you for sure.
Okay, yeah, that would be really nice, because I have to ask my granddaughter to come over and pick me up, and she lives in Rent. And then, you know, then we have to make the drive over to 520, and then you know how that is.
Oh, yes, yes, no.
Okay, one quick more question then. I've been having some hyaluronic acid injections in both knees every 6 months.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that really helps. It keeps me going. And I was just wondering, I'm 90 years old, so I was wondering, how long can I keep having those? I'm too old for me.
You can have them indefinitely.
Yeah.
That's the good news about HA injections, is there's no real downside, like with cortisone or some other things. So those can be done indefinitely. Every time, you know, you do an injection, there's, you know, the inherent very small risk of bleeding, infection, nerve damage, but those are things. Yeah. If it's good. So about, is it every 6 months you get the HA injections?
Yeah, I do it every 6 months. Yeah.
Perfect. I would keep doing that as long as it's working.
Oh, one question too. If I am on Eliquis because of AFib, which is under control, would I have to stop that for the PRP?
AFib. Yeah, probably would not stop it. In that case, if you're on AFib, that's a little riskier than stopping it for some other reason. So,
hasn't occurred for 5 years. I was in the hospital with it 5 years ago, but I haven't had any symptoms since. So.
Yeah, all things being equal, I would probably just stay on the Eliquis. The risk of bleeding for that kind of procedure is extremely low, so it's not, but nothing's zero, but the chance of causing any problems, I think. I'd rather you just stay on the Eliquis, and we can deal with the other issues.
Okay, well, it'll probably be this fall, because she has 2 weeks off in the fall, and so I will take advantage of her then.
That sounds good. You take advantage of her, you come see us.
That's right.
Great.
Thanks a lot, you guys. Really love your show, all of you.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for listening,
thank
Donna.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here. Okay, one last call today. Are you ready for it, doctors?
Why not?
Okay, we're going to stay right here on the east side. Sally is on the line. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Sally.
Thank you. Good morning. And I have a question for Dr. Nelson. A friend of mine in Idaho has had shingles for a year and a half, she says, and it's in the waist area. Is there anything you could do about that?
Yeah, so she's had it for a year, you said?
Yeah, year and a half.
So probably she's got
symptoms,
what we call
are still
post,
pain? Yeah.
Post, she probably
lots
has what we call
pain,
post-herpetic neuralgia. So she's past the shingles stage, and unfortunately she's probably sustained some nerve damage. And that's a very challenging situation. We do have some options for that. We have treated people for postherpetic neuralgia. It's not a slam dunk. I mean, but it's a very vexing problem, challenging problem. We've had success treating shingles, but and a fairly good toolbox. But the only problem, if she's in Idaho, this is not like a one visit cure, right?
No, that's true. Unless she stays with me.
Yeah. So there are definitely some options out there. Usually in a situation like that, we try to find somebody who has kind of the same toolbox that might be closer. So.
She is close to Spokane.
Oh, I know somebody in Spokane that might be able to help her then. My good friend
Could
and colleague.
Tell me?
Yes, absolutely. My good friend and colleague, Dr. John Hathaway. I just texted him recently about some stuff. So, John Hathaway, I would highly recommend that she check him out.
Oh, great. I will tell her that.
Thank you
very much.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. And that was our last call for the show. I didn't know how long that one would take. Ooh, you can breathe, doctors.
Went by like that.
It sure did. Wow. Wow. So we have just a couple of minutes left of our show for today. Any last comments or questions? Or, of course, we want to get folks into longevity. That is why we do the show each and every week. And you got to check out this new facility in Kirkland. Wow. Of course, we have three facilities, Tacoma and Linwood. We don't want them to be jealous because of all the new remodeling in Kirkland. But it's been busy, huh?
It has been busy.
Yes.
But that's okay.
That's okay. Always room for you. If you've been listening for a long time or if you've been going, I want to, but I'm not sure. You know what? Come on in to Longevity Medical Clinics. Find out what the doctors can do for you and for your health, because everyone is aging and we want you to age. We don't like to say gracefully, right, Dr. Mixon? Because, who really can do that? But we want you to age well and healthy, right?
That's right. I always claim that aging is the progressive loss of our graces. There is no such thing as aging gracefully. But we can help you as you get older, as you live longer, to become stronger, faster, mm-hmm. leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier. And that's good enough. Can't make you younger.
Nope.
But if I can help you be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier, for most of us, that's more than enough.
And we'll take it. And what I hear from so many of the patients is they'll say, wow, I feel better now than I did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or in my 30s or in my 40s. So you can, as you're aging, feel better than you did when you were younger. And we want you to do that. We want you to come in and meet our staff and get that free health analysis while we have it and make your appointment. Okay. You can get that two tests, a blood test and an in-body test. And at that point, you can decide whether you want to get the bigger blood panel, which will test you for hormones and all sorts of things, right, Dr. Umat? And let you know if you're at risk for things like diabetes and heart disease, cancers, so many things that could be right around the corner. And then we make a plan to help you succeed at feeling your best, right?
That's right.
All right. Here is that number to call. It's 866-86-YOUNG. The number is 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website and see some of our videos. You can schedule your free health analysis there. You can even listen to all of our radio shows. We put those up there as a radio podcast, and you can hear those a couple days after they air live. Go to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. You have a great rest of your week. We'll be back next week right here for Leading Edge Medicine. Have a great weekend.